we deserve tonight is to be counted out. But God gives us another chance. And if you open your Bibles to John chapter 21, we're going to read John chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's talking about John who's writing this gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many fish, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Just so far. Well, when we read this, what we are seeing is that Jesus is alive. Now, Jesus had, of course, been crucified. He had been buried. And on the third day, he had risen again. And he is alive. And he had sent word to his disciples, "Wait for me in Galilee." And there they were in Galilee. Now, you can see from that map where Jerusalem is down the bottom there, where the Sea of Galilee is, they're up north in Israel. They're in Galilee because Jesus has said, go to Galilee after he'd been crucified in Jerusalem. Go back home to Galilee. And there they were in Galilee, and probably they were at Capernaum on the beach, at Capernaum. And now Capernaum was Peter's town. That was his hometown and had been the base, in fact, from which Jesus had operated. Now Peter's there along with six other disciples, but it is not a happy Peter. Sure, Peter, with the others, had seen that Jesus was alive. We saw this was the third time he had appeared to them. So twice before he had appeared to them, they knew that Jesus was alive. But Peter was carrying a heavy burden. It had started at that last Passover meal. You remember? Jesus had spoken about dying. He had predicted that some of his disciples would desert him. Peter, of course, hadn't believed that it could have included him. And he replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will," Peter had said. Jesus had burst Peter's bubble. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you, Peter, will disown me three times." Of course, Peter had known better than Jesus. And so Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. But that was Peter. I mean, there was no way that that could happen to Peter. Denied Jesus 3 times that very night? Come on. But he had. He had stood fearful in that courtyard, fearful of a young servant girl. He denied that he knew Jesus once. He denied it a second time. And with the third time, the denial was accompanied with language he hadn't used since he was a fisherman. 3 times, Peter denied that he knew Jesus. And with that third denial, Jesus looked around and caught Peter's eye. And Peter, the words of Jesus came back to him. His own arrogance of saying, I will never desert you, came back to Peter. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He was a broken man. And then Peter had watched Jesus die. And Peter knew in his own mind that he could never tell Jesus how sorry he was. He could never look at him and say, Lord, forgive me. Peter knew that he deserved to be written off. Peter knew he deserved to be counted out. And so Peter, after spending that time with Jesus for 3 years, been made all these promises, had seen what Jesus had done, Peter comes to a decision, I'm going to fish. And Peter, being a leader, was able to influence the others, and the rest followed and said, well, we'll go with you. So they'd got into their boat and gone fishing. Well, the story is a familiar story, isn't it? 7 experienced fishermen spend the night on the lake and they don't catch anything. They make their way back to the shore. They get to about 100 meters from the shore and there they see a man standing on the beach. And they hear this voice floating across the water, friends, haven't you any fish? And well, that's an easy answer, no. Who is this guy anyway? We are told they did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Now, why on earth they listened to someone who was a perfect stranger to them? A perfect stranger telling them to do what every fisherman knows is stupid. To try and fish when the sun is behind you, when your shadow is going to be cast over the fish to warn the fish that you are there. Why did they listen to somebody telling them to do that? Have no idea, but they did it. And when they did it, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Only John is perceptive enough to guess who it was. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. Finally, they all stand on the beach, and there is a fire on the beach. And I'm wondering, did Peter notice the fire? Did he stare at that fire? Did his mind go back to the night that he had failed Jesus by denying him? Let's just go back to the night that Peter denied Jesus. Let's go back to it and remind ourselves how the night unfolded. Peter followed at a safe distance. Jesus has been arrested, and Peter followed at a safe distance. I want you just to take note of how he followed at a safe distance. I'm going to come back and ask you a question about that in a metaphorical sense just now. Peter followed at a safe distance. In the middle of the courtyard, some people had started a fire. And were sitting around it and were trying to keep warm. One of them, a serving maid, sitting at the fire, noticed Peter and then took a second look and said, this man was with him. Peter denied it. Woman, I don't even know him. A short time later, someone else noticed him and said, you're one of them. But Peter denied it. Man, I'm not. After about an hour, someone else spoke up, really adamant, He has got to have been with him. He's got Galilean written all over him. Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And at that very moment, the last words hardly off his lips, when a rooster crowed. Just then, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And Peter, remember what Jesus had said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He went out and cried and cried and cried. And it happened around a fire. And here Jesus had made a fire. Of course, Peter noticed the fire on the beach. Come and have breakfast. And with that, the stage is set. This isn't random. Peter had failed Jesus. Peter believed that he deserved to be counted out. Jesus wants to give Peter another chance, but needs to set the stage to meet Peter in a way that Peter will recognize what Jesus had done for him. The fire. Simon, son of John, in other words, Peter. Simon, do you love me more than these? Important question. You see, Peter had literally sworn love and loyalty to the very death for Jesus. I'll die for you, Peter had said. Peter had said, even though these others may desert you, I will never desert you. And then Peter had denied Jesus three times. Peter, do you love me more than these? More than these other disciples that you said they may desert you, but I will never do that. Do you love me more than your fellow disciples love me? Embarrassed, Peter simply replies, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Do we hear a bit of humility breaking through? And Jesus simply responds, feed my lambs. I'm thinking Peter's relief must have been profound. He deserved to be counted out, but Jesus seems to be giving him another chance, which means Peter is totally unprepared for the next question. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And once more, Peter blurts out, Lord, you know that I love you. What's wrong with the first time Peter had told Jesus that? But again, Jesus seems to be satisfied. Take care of my sheep. Again, Peter must have felt a sense of relief. It's going to be okay. And yet it's not over. Because Jesus speaks again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this was just all too much for Peter. And it shows Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Surely Jesus had taken it a little bit too far. Surely Jesus can recognize repentance when he sees it. Why is he putting Peter through this? Well, actually, it was for Peter's sake. Peter needed to recognize both the depth of his own failure and the full extent of Jesus' forgiveness. Unless we recognize the depth of our own failure, we will never fully appreciate the extent of the forgiveness which we have been offered. And in order to facilitate that, Jesus has the fire of symbolic significance. Peter had denied Jesus at a fire. The restoration was taking place by the fire. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Jesus is bringing Peter back to that. So not once, not twice, but three times Peter is asked if he really loves Jesus. It's as though Jesus is taking Peter back to that night. And allowing Peter not only to feel the depth of what he felt when he denied Jesus, but to feel the true repentance and to experience the depth and extent
of the forgiveness. And so Peter affirms his love for the third time. And for the third time, Jesus gives the commission, feed my sheep. Peter was brought back to thorough repentance and allowed to know deep forgiveness and restoration. Then Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And I'm wondering, have we ever messed up badly with Jesus? I mean, in a way that you wonder if Jesus can ever forgive you. You come to the place where you know you deserve to be counted out. Do you know that feeling? I'm guessing that after David sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, and the prophet Nathan came to David and he said to David, you're that man. David must have wished that the ground would open and just swallow him. Maybe we haven't committed adultery, but we know that feeling. People are gossiping about somebody who's not there to defend themselves. And we took part in the gossiping instead of defending. And we regretted it. We so wish we could have that conversation again. Or maybe something you knew to be wrong and you did it. And you cried out to God for forgiveness and you sensed His forgiveness. And then you did it again and again and again and again. Lord, I deserve to be counted out. Do you know that feeling? Failing Jesus can take many forms, and we have all probably failed Him in some way. And so we all know what it feels like to be counted out and to know we deserve it. Here's another story of someone who denied Jesus, someone who deserved to be counted out and who in fact was counted out. Not because Jesus counted him out, but because he didn't come back to Jesus for a second chance. Judas. He never believed he could be forgiven, restored. He never went back. And so he was counted out. He counted himself out. He committed suicide. In some way, at some time, we all deny Jesus. And often we believe we have put ourselves beyond Jesus' ability and willingness to give us a second chance. And we walk around carrying this burden. Are you one of those? Judas was counted out not because Jesus couldn't or wouldn't. He was counted out because he never came back to Jesus and said, Lord, forgive me. Give me a second chance. Peter, like Judas, deserved to be counted out. But Peter was given a second chance because Peter allowed Jesus to work with him and bring him back to the place of restoration. See, Jesus died and rose again for you so that he could forgive you and restore you. That's what Jesus wants for you. And the question is, will you respond with confession tonight and hear Jesus say again, follow me? Before we turn to the questions, let's just have a time of silence to see whether Jesus is talking to you about coming back to the place of confession. Lord Jesus, thank you that you were willing to die for us because you were willing to pay for the sin that we commit against you, so that you are able to say, yes, you deserve it, but I forgive you. Thank you for that. Lord, let no one here tonight leave here carrying that burden, but let each of us leave here knowing we are free, we've been set free, because we've repented, we've confessed, and we've heard you say, follow me again. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you can read that. If you can't, then you're just going to have to come stand here, make a note, and go and sit down again. We don't have it on our phones because Janine's not here. We haven't got the new protocol yet. I'm sure Jan will come up with one where you will have it on your phone at some point. But that's what you've got to do tonight. Now, there's 7 questions there. You don't have to do them all. Okay? Don't feel you've got to get through them. Just make sure that when you do one, you've done it to as much as you've wanted to do it. Not too bad, eh? Not too bad.